Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Oh, welcome back, Wisdom and Stuff podcast. This is Daryl Boucher. Man, it's a glorious day today. We are getting into Revelation Knowledge is part 3, and I encourage you to listen to the other ones if you haven't yet, because Revelation Knowledge is such a cool thing. It's not just a side thought. It's not just something that certain people do and certain people have and other people don't have. This is something that you know, God actually wants all of us to walk in, and if we don't, then we're limiting ourselves to natural knowledge. We're limiting ourselves to knowledge that our five senses produce. And I found, my goodness, I began walking Revelation Knowledge, not knowing what it was. I didn't know there was a name for it. I'd never heard about it before. I just began to access something that I knew was of the Holy Ghost. And I could feel a difference. I could totally feel a difference. You know when you're walking in Revelation Knowledge, and you know when you're just trying to figure things out. And this is, the Bible can't be figured out. The Bible's not written to my mind. It's written to renew my mind. It's written to my heart so that my heart can be in charge. The Bible is not written to my mind, though. It is written to benefit my mind. It's written to renew my mind. But it's not written to be filtered by my mind, okay? My mind is designed to submit to the Word. My mind is not designed to come into agreement with the Word. It's not designed to figure out the Word. It's not designed to look at the Word like a academic textbook, you know, like I have to sit there and it's not a problem to figure out. That's not what the Word is. The Word of God is my nature. It is the definition of who I am. It is the thing that I actually take in, and I abide in Him, and the Word of God abides in me. This is an abiding. This is my nature. The divine nature of God dwells on the inside of us, and He is the living Word of God. And so this is not something that we just figure out. This is not something that we just sit and debate all the time. That's right now. We got so many Christians who are you know, kind of in a strife-based mentality where they want to debate every little thing. And I just found there's literally no benefit to that. There's no edification. The Bible says to avoid these vain disputes that only tend to more ungodliness. And it's one thing if you want to sit and have a discussion with somebody and kind of pick their brain about it and be like, hey, you know, what has the Lord shown you about this? And here's what He's shown me about this, da-da-da-da, and have a really good, edifying conversation that maybe, you know, two totally different viewpoints come in and you're both reaching for higher thoughts. You see, the problem is that if I'm coming in trying to prove my point, I'm in pride, and there's no edification in that. I am not there to edify that person. I'm just trying to prove my point to that person, and maybe vice versa. But the thing is, I need to come in with a humble heart and saying, man, I God may have given me truth concerning a subject, but I know that I'm not walking in the fullness of that, and so I would just rather reach to something higher. I want to reach to more. And if the Bible says we all know in part, so you know, my brother or my sister who stands right in front of me, they have a part. Man, I want to learn what their part is. I want to glean from them. I want to find out, man, if I can actually add their part to my part, or if maybe my part has error in it, I need to have it, you know, kind of have iron sharpen iron and whittle away whatever parts of my theology is wrong. I don't mind. I mean, I just want to walk in the highest. And so there's nothing wrong with having those kind of conversations, of course, but when it becomes a contentious situation where people are just trying to prove their point, and they've planted their flag in the sand, and they're like, I will not move off this hill. I will die on this hill. Come on. That's just pride. And so we need to get away from that. That is what the world does. That's not what the church does. So it says that they would know that we are disciples by our love one for another, not by how much doctrine we know and hold to. So anyway, but Revelation Knowledge, though, is so key to just an accelerated growth in our identity, even coming to know what our identity is. We talked about that some the first session of this. But what I want to get into now is some of the practical steps of, you know, what can we do to enhance and partner with the revelation that the Holy Spirit is already revealing to us in our hearts. What can we do to kind of get past the veil of our mind? Because right now, you know, there is a veil that stands between, basically what God is saying and what we're hearing. And so that what we need to do is we need to remove that veil, right? And the veil is taken away as we humble ourselves to the Word, and as we access what's in our heart rather than just allowing our mind to be in charge of things. And so with that, I want to talk about just some very practical things that we need to do. And these are things, and one of the reasons I think why I'm even getting into this is because the Lord just kind of, he just kind of put this on my heart again, and these are things that sometimes I can let slip. And we need to, the Bible says, you know, don't let these things slip. In other words, don't turn them into a routine or into some kind of formula, and the next thing you know, you're either doing them out of tradition, religion, or you're just not doing them at all. You know, sometimes we can get, you know, we can get things, and God will show us things, and we're all fired up about it for a week or two, and then a year later, our life looks exactly the same as it did before because we didn't actually put those things in our life, and we didn't actually grow from those things, and we didn't actually activate those things. We literally just, you know, we acknowledged them, we were excited about them, we thanked God for them, but it's kind of basically like the stony ground, you know, that the seed goes in on the stony ground, and they take joy in it, but they endure but for a time, and that's it. And so I don't want to be stony ground, I don't want to be thorny ground, I don't want to be the wayside soil, I want to be good ground, praise God. And so I just think we need to understand that the revelation knowledge is a key part of that, and keeping, you know, kind of instead of making it a regiment, just making it a lifestyle, and just saying, this is who I am. I am one who walks in revelation knowledge, and one of the ways that I stay focused with my heart in the driver's seat is I can do these certain things, and it's going to help me stay fixed in that. And like I said, I don't want to make this into a formula by any means. These are just some tools that I've found. Some of them are principle-based, and the principles you can't deviate from. Okay, principles are principles. Principles are truth. Precepts will look different all the time on different people. So I may say something here, and you're like, yeah, that just doesn't work for me that way. I just don't do it that way. That's fine. But the principle is what needs to be adhered to. And so I just want to challenge you, even if the precepts that I begin to talk about may not, you know, be, you know, in line with how you do things or your personality type, find a precept that lines up with a deeper principle and say, okay, here's the principle that's at work. How can I yield to this principle at a higher level? I don't care what the precept looks like. I don't care what you do in your morning routine. That's not the point. The point is what are you doing with your heart that's yielding at a higher level to the principle that we're talking about, okay? Because the principles won't change. Doesn't matter what your personality is, the principle is the principle. The truth will not change for your personality. Truth will not change. And a lot of times, one of the things that the enemy uses to really stop people from growing is kind of a mentality of like, well, you know, I just do things so different that none of these things work. And you know how many times I've heard that? And how many times that's garbage? And I know that can sound offensive, and it's okay if I offend you, because sometimes we need to be offended. Jesus said that he's the rock of offense, you know, and so we need to break out of the pattern of thinking that we're so special that nothing actually works. Do something. You know, and I don't mind it if people say, well, you know, I don't want people put in a cookie cutter thing. I don't want them put in a box. I don't want them to think that they have to do it the same way everybody else does it at all. But if somebody comes to me and says, that just doesn't work for me, then tell me what does. Tell me what you found that does work. And if they say, well, you know, I haven't found, well, what are you working on? What are you doing? What does your life look like now that's actually pursuing something? Because the internal narrative that the enemy uses that says, I'm so different that nothing works, that internal narrative will actually shut people down from pursuing anything. And so they think that they're so special and that they're so different that they're just some kind of, I don't know, some problem child or they're just like so, I don't know, but I don't, something so different than anybody else that nothing in the Bible works for them. And that's just a prideful thought, because honestly, that just tells me that what you're saying is God's word's not true. And we need to realize, no, God's word is true, and we need to go in with the right attitude of saying, you know, maybe I haven't found something that works, but Father, I know that you're no respecter of persons, and I know that I'm a child of God, just like Jesus is a child of God, and just like all these other Christians are children of God, and I know that you have life and life more abundantly for me, and I know that freedom is mine, and I know the work was finished for me too, and I know that I'm seated with Jesus on the throne, and you have to say what you know, not what you don't know, and what you know will actually allow you to pursue the things that maybe you don't have the answers for. But don't let the questions stop you from the pursuit. And that's what I see over and over again in the body of Christ is people, they like, well, I just don't know this. I don't know that. Well, what do you know? Stand on that. Do something with that. Or like, well, you know, I just haven't found anything that works. Well, keep, you know, don't place yourself in an identity pattern of saying, I'm the person that nothing works for. That's a lie. That's not in the Word anywhere. Show me the scripture that says that. And what we have to do is we have to humble ourselves to the Word. Now, one of the first things, though, like I said, that we need to do is we need to get into a lifestyle pattern of just meditating the Word. And meditation is vastly different than memorization. Memorization is a mental exercise. And some people, you know, they've memorization is great. Some people, I have a really good memory, but I have taken time in the past to memorize different parts of the Bible. But honestly, for me, that's never really produced a lot of fruit. And to some people, that's a great exercise for them. But for me, it's not. And so I'm not doctrinal about these things. For some, that's great. And for some, it's not. It's okay. But meditation is different than that. Meditation is not about, it's just not about memorization. Meditation, the word meditate in the Hebrew means to you know, well, actually in the Greek and the Hebrew, they both mean to speak to yourself, to mean to mutter to yourself. But in the Hebrew, the picture that would be conveyed by the word meditate is the picture of a cow chewing its cud. And that cow, you know, it takes a clump of grass and it will chew that same piece of grass for, I don't know, hours, days. I don't even know. I'm not a cow guy, so I don't really know much about it. But I do know that cow will chew its cud and chew the same clump of grass over and over and over, and it'll be gnawing on that thing and gnawing on that thing and gnawing on that thing. And it's not because it's not because it needs some chewing gum and it likes to chew. It's because its stomach is, in its digestive system, is very simple. And so all of the things in that grass need to be broken down. It's not like us that we just kind of like, you know, chew things and swallow them. You know, it needs to be broken down into a simpler form. And so what it does is, you know, it just chews it until it's so simple it can finally swallow it. And then what happens, though, is the stomach, and cows have more than one stomach, but the stomach will break it down. And then what it can't break down, it'll literally send it back up. So the cow will like regurgitate that same clump up and break it down until, you know, it's broken all of it down enough to where its digestive tract can actually process it. And this is what the word meditate actually means. The literal word means to chew like cud, to break things down in such a way that our spiritual tract can actually assimilated into our nature. And so it's not just memorizing something, it's not just reading something, it's meditating something. And to meditate something, God told me years ago when I was praying about revelation knowledge, and he just told me years ago, he said, the key to revelation is meditation. Meditation is the doorway to revelation. It is. It by far is. Now, how you meditate the word is going to be up to you, but it needs to still have the same principle. It's going to be taking, you know, the word. Now, this means you don't take a whole chapter. Typically you barely even take a whole verse. It's usually you're just taking a phrase, or as you read the word, or maybe you just take a verse in the morning and you just take a phrase, or you take a couple words and they're standing out to you. You know, as you pray and you read, and you're like, oh man, that phrase is standing out to me. And then throughout the day, you're just meditating on that. And what that means is, Eastern religions meditate, you know, and they're like, they do the Om thing, and it's all about finding inner consciousness or something like that. I don't know. But you know, they have a different form of meditation. That's actually a counterfeit form of what we're doing. Okay, and it's like they're trying to empty themselves and we're filling ourselves. Okay, they're trying to empty themselves of whatever and we're filling ourselves with life, and we're actually tapping into the life that's already on the inside of us. And the thing is, though, in Middle Eastern meditation, you know, there is a spiritual principle tied to meditation. And so that spiritual principle will work whether you're doing it for the kingdom of God or not. And so if we're talking about meditation, there is an effect on those people in Middle Eastern religions that actually practice meditation. There is an effect on them. It's not the same effect that we're looking for, but there is a tangible effect because meditation is a principle that you cannot, it doesn't just turn off just because you're not doing it the right way. They're still yielding to a principle that will work. And even the financial sectors or different success motivation sectors of the society now, if you listen to success-oriented people and motivational speakers, they will talk about meditation. They may not use that word. Some of them will, but some of them don't want to get confused with the Middle Eastern or the Eastern religion type. And so they'll use different things. They'll talk about, affirmations or positive confessions. And those are all variations of the principle of meditation. And I don't want us to confuse that. I don't want us to get into the ditch of just a positive affirmation. Nothing wrong with positive affirmations. Nothing wrong with just saying to yourself positive things. There's nothing wrong with that. That is, it is part of the principle of meditation. But meditation that I'm talking about is where we take the word and we get a phrase or we get a couple words out of it or something. And we just, we say, okay, let me just take this word and let me just begin to meditate. Let me begin to allow the Holy Spirit to show me what is happening in this phrase or in these words or in this verse. And we begin to just think on it and ponder it in our hearts. We're not reasoning it with our mind. We're pondering it with our hearts. We're meditating. We're actually allowing it to get broken down and we're speaking it and we're saying, okay, let's just say the phrase, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Man, we're just speaking that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And as we just begin to speak that, we're yielding to our hearts. And yeah, it can kind of sound a little flaky if you're not used to it because it's not a mental exercise. This is not about memorizing that. This is about meditating it. This is about actually allowing the word. And what's happening is we're allowing the word to actually find agreement in our heart because the nature of God's already on the inside of us, right? We're partaker of his divine nature. And so what we're doing is we're getting our mind and our mouth and our consciousness very much purposefully engaged with something our heart already knows. Your heart already knows the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, but your heart knows it on the level that heaven knows it. Your heart knows it on the level that eternity knows it. Your heart knows it on the level that all the angels know it. Your heart knows it on the level that God himself knows it. And what we need to do is we need to get our mind, our consciousness, and our mouth, and every part of us engaged with partnering with the knowledge that our heart already knows. And it says that the Holy Spirit's already revealed these things to us. And so once again, we're looking to get the veil removed. We're looking to get the veil removed that's trying to tie us to a temporal definition, trying to tie us to a experience-based definition. And we're simply just saying, okay, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. No, this is true. The Lord is good. He is good. And his mercy endures forever. And so meditating these things, and you might feel weird when you first start doing it, and that's okay. But just take, even if you just need to take, 15 minutes a day or whatever, and if you're at work, go on your lunch hour or something like this and write the verse or the phrase down. And just close your eyes, even if you need to play a little bit of music behind you, do whatever. These are all just mechanisms to weaken the voice of the natural mind and the five senses and tune in. You're tuning the radio signal in. You're tuning the dial in to what your heart already knows. Okay. This isn't coming up with something. It's not conjuring something up. You're not speaking some witchcraft spell over yourself. That's all a version of meditation used in the dark sense, as far as for the kingdom of darkness. But these incantations that witches and those tied to witchcraft do, where do you think they get that idea? Because the devil can't create these things, but he uses principles that are already valid. And so these incantations and these different things, these are a lesser form of what's available to us through meditating the word. And our goal, though, in this is not, like I said, to conjure something up. We're not the religious side of this, or the religious version of this, is what Jesus spoke against. And he said, don't pray trying to be heard for your many words. You know, when I got saved, you know, in the mid-80s, and I would be around people who prayed and everything else, and some of them, obviously, I'm not saying that they were all wrong or anything else, but I would hear every now and then, I would hear people just like machine gunning. You know, they're like machine gunning verses, or they're machine gunning prayer, or they're machine gunning the name of Jesus. There's, you know, and they're like, And then I'm reading the Bible. I'm like, it sounds like they're trying to be heard for their many words, right? It sounds like they're trying to produce something, because if they say it enough, it's going to happen. That's not what meditation is. That is a counterfeit. That's a religious counterfeit of that. And Jesus says, don't pray trying to be heard for your many words. This is not about repetition. This is about meditation, okay? And I want to make sure you delineate that. This is not about repetition. This is about meditation. This is about... It's literally about me just adjusting my mind to be aware of what my heart is speaking concerning this verse or whatever. And so there's some other little tools that we're going to get into, but meditation is the first part of it. And it is literally chewing that cud. You're just chewing the cud. You're chewing the cud, and you're just like, okay, this is truth. And my heart already knows it. It's already been established forever in heaven. My heart's already been seated with Jesus in heavenly places, so my heart already knows it. But the Word says to set our mind and set our affections on things above and on the earth. How do we do that? Meditating. It's a big part of it. Worship is a big part of it. Worship is very meditational, because in worship, many times we will say the same chorus over and over, the same verse, or if you're worshiping just by the Spirit, you'll find that that God and the Holy Spirit will have you say the same thing and sing the same thing over and over again. It's just meditation, right? But how do we set our minds on things above? How do we set our affections? We through meditation. Whether we can do it through worship, but the Word is imperative. We need to meditate the Word of God. And so, like I said, you do that, you know, however the Lord leads you into doing it. But the point of it is not figuring it out, not memorizing it, not just, you know, trying to be heard for your many words, not just doing an incantation of it like some witchcraft, not doing it like some Middle Eastern thing where you're just, you know, coming to a place of nirvana. This is about accessing what's on the inside of us. And you know when it happens. You know when you've broken through that veil and suddenly the Holy Spirit, through your spirit, speaks and says, this is what this means. Boom, you know it. I mean, it's like it's night and day. It's just so night and day. And you know it when you hear it. You know it when you get a hold of it. You know it when it's yours. You know it by right. You know it by definition. By identity. You know it. And that's when things are revealed. But I want to get into a couple other tools of this as we go. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you can just teach us and guide us and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth concerning these things. And we thank you. We walk in higher thoughts and higher ways in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.